My best sparring partner is adversity. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with instant illumination. My best sparring partner is adversity. That sounds like a very negative concept. But I agree with adversity quickly, and it has no power to control or direct or do anything in my life other than what I choose to have it do. My best sparring partner is adversity. Every day we create adversity for ourselves. We think that we live in this universe, and we think that this universe has positives and negatives to it. We think that this universe is an up and a down universe, and that all of the things that happen in this universe are happening, but we like to think that they're not caused by us. They're not something that we have done to make them happen. They are not something that we have put a cause in motion to bring them about. This is what we like to think. And of course, when we think that way, then for us, that is true. And then we look at everybody else in the world whom we have created experiencing these things, and we say to them, you created this. You're the one who brought all of this unhappiness on your life. Just look at you. You don't have a job, so you have no money. You are sick. You have some disease. Don't get near me. My goodness sakes. I don't want to have any of that disease rub off on me. It's contagious or not contagious. Even having a person who is diseased, my goodness, it's terrible. And we look around and we do this. We judge the world in some very awful way. We judge the people. We say, those are good children. Those are bad. Those are good adults. Those are bad adults. Those are fine activities. Those are noble things these people are doing. And then these other things are not noble. You know, we have a statement about politicians, that the politicians are out for their own pocket, and the politicians don't really care about the people, but they're merely doing their work in government to have their extra little things that come their way. Now, that's a very positive and wonderful way to look at politicians, isn't it? That's a good way to look at people that we elect into power. We elect them to be in charge of our money and to build for us roads, highways, hospitals, schools. We tell them that we want them to do this. We give them our most noble pursuits, you might say, and give them power to take, let's say, two-thirds of the money that is supposed to be put into the roads and put it in their pockets. Now, you see, that's not really true, but partly it's true. You know, that's not. Why do we make such idiotic statements like that? Why do we empower such an idiotic idea? The most noble work that anyone could do, even notwithstanding religion and philosophy, the most noble work that any human could do would be the work of service. This is what everyone feels. And the work of service should be done by people who are noble, people who look for the highest and best in every circumstance. Now, our politicians should look for the highest and best. Well, they barter between themselves to get their bills passed and to have different things done. And then I'll vote for yours if you'll vote for mine. Well, are you sure you want to vote for mine? I don't care. I want you to vote for mine. I don't care what yours is. I'll vote for it, but I want you to vote for mine. And you see, this is the attitude we have about our politicians. This is the attitude we have, and naturally, this is the response that we get from them oftentimes. Can we change this? Can we change this to realizing that the most noble people in the universe are those people who choose to work on behalf of the society, on behalf of civilization, on behalf of the benefit of all mankind, in their living standards, in their earning standards, and all of the other good things. And then we say, the politicians are the ones who want war. The politicians are the ones who want to grab land and take things. The politicians are the ones who want to manipulate and control. Let's stop this foolishness. We're the creator of our own world. Let's create the politicians in our nation as the finest men in the universe, the finest women that were ever born. They're people that care about people. They're people whose first interest is the people. Their families oftentimes don't see too much of them because they're so busy working on legislation. Their families say, my God, my dad, my mom, they're so dedicated to being a politician, to walking the politician trail, to getting the votes of the people and to pass the legislation for their benefit. Wow, what a wonderful dad and mom I have, or whatever. You see, now, do our children say those things about us? Or do our children know about what politicians are thought about? What do people think about politicians? You know, philosophy and politics are quite alike. We treat them as an adversity. We treat them as something that is a difficulty for us. Well, let's agree with our adversary quickly. The philosopher, let's just say the politician. The politician is presumed to be doing things not beneficial to his constituents. And we put a new cause in motion. We say the politicians are doing everything harmonious with their constituents. Now, you say, but that's not true. That's an illusion. That's not true. Look at the evidence. Look at the appearance. And that is our adversary. Appearances will always be our adversary. And it's up to us to agree with those appearances and take away their power, take away their ability to exist, their ability to do anything. If someone comes up to you and says, that's a terrible looking shirt you have there, and you say, yeah, I know, it's the only one I could find in the closet. I sure would like to have a better shirt, especially since I'm going to make a presentation today. You know, it'd be so great. And our adversary, who says, that's a terrible looking shirt, he says, hey, come on in the restroom here. Let me give you my shirt, and I'll wear your shirt, because you have a presentation to make that you want to make beautifully. You see, your adversary becomes your supporter. Your adversary becomes your friend. Your adversary becomes your person that is helping you to accomplish the good that you want to accomplish. Look for good in the world. Look for every adversarial circumstance that you can have, and then turn that circumstance into a blessing. Agree with your adversary quickly. This statement is not foolish. This statement is well taken and well spoken and well followed. Because when we do that, then we will create a world where the politicians are interested in the people. We're talking to the people in Africa and Ghana and in Nigeria. We're talking to the people in various other nations. We're talking to people in Switzerland. We're talking to people in Germany and Canada and Australia and the Philippines and New Zealand. We're talking to people all over the world. And as we're talking to these people and they're telling us about the problems in their government, the problems of new leadership continually coming up and the old leadership being dumped, and we're telling them, hey, change your attitude. Well, I'm just one person. Change your attitude. But I'm only one vote. Change your attitude. Begin to recognize that your legislators are the finest men in the world, the finest women in the world, the finest beings in the world, looking out for the best interests of your nation. But it isn't so. Put a new cause in motion. Just because you go to the doctor with a broken leg doesn't mean that that broken leg is yours forever. That only means that until you allow the healing to take place, that broken leg will be part of your world. What is it that you want in your world? What is it that you want in your experience? What is it that you're willing to pay the price of positive thinking to achieve? But what is it? Now, if you say to your child, and we've said these things so often, if you say to your child, you're stupid, you're dumb, you just will never learn, I don't understand how the teachers even allow you to come into school. Now, what parent would say that to a child? But we do. In different ways, we do say that. We say that when you can do better, you can get a higher grade than that, you are this and you are that, and you're my son or you're my daughter, and you should have higher grades than this, and the kids rebel. They feel, why should they bother? Why should they bother looking for higher grades and so forth? Now, if the parent would sit down with the child and say, you are a fabulous student. Yes, you're having a little trouble here, but no problem. Let's look at it and see what it's all about. Oh, hey, that's interesting. I love history. You know, here's the story of history, and make it so fascinating, so vital for them, that what before had become a drudgery thing and a hard learning thing now becomes simplicity because they're excited about it. But of course, you have to be excited about it. You have to be excited about your children's grades in school. You have to be excited about your children's learning ability. You have to be excited about your government. You have to be excited about yourself. You have to be excited about yourself. You have to be excited about the causes you put in motion for yourself. I am a very wonderful man. I am a beautiful person. People enjoy my company. I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. I am a wonderful guy. Wherever I go, people say, man, you live your philosophy, don't you? And I say, I really do, and I love it. And they say, I wish I could too. Well, it's not a matter of wishing, it's just a matter of doing. It's just a matter, you take every experience that comes along, and if the experience might appear to be negative, you find the good in it. You find the purity in it. You look at the politicians and you find the good that they have done. And as you begin to concentrate on the good they've done, the desire for doing things in a non-beneficial way fade away. You agree with your adversary. You agree in so beautiful terms that they immediately want to do their best and be their best and experience their best and express their best. This is up to us. They're our creation. And in our world, they'll do that. And is there any other world but our world? Now, this is something we want to think about. Is there any other world but our world? But what about me? I'm John, this is my world, and I'm Mary, this is my world, and I'm Peter, and this is my world, and I'm Agnes, and this is my world, and I'm Herb, and this is my world. Gee, Herb, I wish my world were as nice as your world, you know. Well, it's all the same world. It's all a matter of how we look at it. How we see it, how we empower that world with our beautiful thoughts, our beautiful ideas, and our beautiful attitudes. What is it that is so important for you in your world? What is it that you would like to have? Can you recognize your best sparring partner, the one who gives you the greatest opportunity to, you know, box back and forth? Is adversary. Your adversary comes up to you and says, hey, I bet you can't speed your car over 100 miles an hour for a 10-minute period. And you say, oh, I probably could, but I have no interest in doing that. Oh, chicken, chicken, chicken. Yeah, I guess you could call me a chicken. But have you done it? Oh, yes. And are you good at it? Oh, yes. Well, then, you know, my car is the same as yours. It can do it, too. But now, let's look at another point. What is the way that we get the best mileage, miles per gallon, out of the use of our car? Well, they've done studies on that, and they've said that if you drive at 40 miles an hour or 45 miles an hour, you get exquisite mileage per hour. And then you go up to 55, and you cut back on the number of miles per hour, but of course you get there sooner. And you go up to 65, and you cut back on the miles per gallon, you know. And then you go up to 85, and they drastically cut back, and you get very few miles per gallon. And when you get up to 100, why, the number of miles per gallon is just idiotic. It is stupid. You're just throwing away money to drive at such a speed. Hadn't thought of it in that way. Well, okay. So just agree with your adversary. Have a little sparring game with him or her and talk about why it is that your point of view is the way it is. And you may not even know what your point of view is because you didn't have one. All you did was decide that you like to drive whatever the speed limit is or less on the highways given by the state or by the government. You are a cooperative, wonderful, beneficial, loving person agreeing with your adversary. And you say, well, is the government my adversary? Only if you don't want to cooperate with their rules. If you want to cooperate with their rules, they're not your adversary. They're your friend. They make sure that the highway is kept safe so that when you come to a stop sign, everybody else is going to stop and you're going to stop. When you go to different turns on the road and they say slow down, it's because they know that, and the normal car, if it goes faster than that, it's liable to roll over. And they want to keep you from hurting your car and hurting yourself. You see, these are all wonderful things if you look at them from what is the reason that they're being done. Why are they put into motion? And why is it that we want to rebel at doing whatever the law or the rules are that we have agreed to follow? Well, agree with your adversary. Let your adversary be a sparring partner for you and just sort of bounce the ideas back and forth with them. And you'll come up with the idea that, hey, that's the reason that we have the certain speed limit there. That's the reason we do this. Ah, yes, that's why. And when you come up with those attitudes and that type of thinking, you know what happens? It's not difficult at all to cooperate with the rules, to cooperate with the principle, to cooperate with life. That's what the world is made out of. Can you imagine in being more wonderfully, more beautifully illumined than that? Think on these things. They're great. Have a wonderful day and know that instant illumination is yours when you give it a chance. I love you. I love you. I love you.